does help that you've got someone to that we both got each
similar,
other.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Because, like I said, it's my biggest investment and we're each other's assets.
Mm. Yeah.
And you can, unfortunately, marry liabilities as well.
Talk about it.
Welcome to the Property Strategist Podcast, everyone. How's everyone doing today?
Good, good, good.
Yeah, amazing, man.
What's going on?
Yeah, how was your weeks?
Busy, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, busy. Busy, man. Nothing's changed, busy. Man.
Just, yeah? How about Akin?
Yeah, man. Same here, man.
You had
same
a very
here,
busy man. Morning today, didn't you?
Busy morning this morning with the architect. Mm. Ran here. It's late. Mm-hmm. Apologies, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Akin's always late.
Mm-hmm. Not always late. Why'd you put that in there? What client should do? I need to know, you know. Be a bad name. But glad to be here, man.
Lovely. Okay, today we got a special guest with us.
Yes.
The other side.
The other half.
Mm. The other queen.
Mm. The other queen, you know. So, do you want to introduce yourself today?
Yeah.
Just a quick one. Just give us a one-liner, two-liner, whatever. Not too much yet.
Yeah. My name's Antoinette, and I am the co-founder of Bricks with Tips.
Woo! Woo!
With my husband, Tayo.
Fantastic. Husband and wife.
How's my combo?
Love it.
Yeah, for real.
I thought today was important, man, because I think we always see Tayo, we always see Bricks as the person that comes on the podcast. We've had it on the podcast at least like three times. So it's like, you know.
I even thought it was going to come sit here today.
Yeah. But we thought, you know what, we're going to have you on this time because we want to hear the other side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We want to hear the other side because you built the platform with Tayo at the end of the day. So we want to hear from your perspective how it's been, you know, the challenges, you know, of growing up Bricks with Tips with Tayo and all the stories from your point of view. So I guess from the beginning, from your point of view, you know, how did Bricks with Tips get started? What was the whole beginning stages, the origin story, I guess, of Bricks with Tips?
Yeah, the origin story, how Bricks with Tips was birthed. So Bricks with Tips was birthed just before the pandemic, a few months before the pandemic, and it was, I think it was a month or so after we bought our fourth property.
Okay.
So Tayo and I, that's one of our things that we do, like we buy a property, we invest.
Yep.
We've got a big interest in like properties and homes and stuff.
Mm.
And so did our small community at the time. When I say small community,
friends.
Our friends, our family, our siblings.
Yep.
We were all kind of on that path together.
Yeah.
So we found that during spare time, not even like spare time, like if I was coming home from work, he'll pick me up from the station, he'll be on the phone talking about something that we've done or something that a friend has done in terms of like purchasing a home or investing or, you know, where should I buy?
Mm.
Same with me. People be like, "Aunt, this is going on, blah, 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 blah. I'm not sure about this, or this is what I want to do." And we just found that the people that are around us, we would just kept on getting into like conversations about property and stuff.
Got you.
And we were all kind of like bouncing off each other.
Mm, yeah.
And then, we were like, what if we can actually reach a wider community? Mm, you get what I mean? At the time, let's just say between 20 and 20 of our like friends and families that like, we're all buying and in certain areas. Mm-hmm.
This was in your 20s, 30s, or what was it?
This was
early 20s, mid 20s.
This was late 20s. 20s.
Okay.
Late 20s. So we both started, Tayo invested before me.
Mm.
He was 22 at the time.
Oh, wow.
And then I jumped on, I think I was 24 or 25.
Mm.
So we've been doing it from our early 20s.
Yeah.
But at the time where we realized that it was really like something we were consistently talking about, it got to about late 20s.
Yeah, okay.
So we had a lot of personal experience.
Yeah. Is it almost like brought you and Tayo together in terms of
say, like, when did you lot meet?
Was it a property event or what?
When did you
meet? Like, a networking event, like, what are you looking at?
So take it back a bit. We actually met at uni. We actually met on the first day of uni.
Oh,
wow.
What uni was this?
We went to Portsmouth.
Portsmouth.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We met on the first day of uni.
And since then,
love at first sight.
Do you know what? There was a gap.
Mm, okay.
But my housemate at the time had mutuals with his friends.
Mm. Okay.
So during the end of the first year, then we just like constantly kept on bumping into each other.
Okay.
And then, yeah, so that was we started dating 2010. Wow. 13 years later.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. That's not, so you mentioned how you started your property, you bought your first property when you was 24?
I think I was 24.
Yeah. How was that process? Like, what kind of triggered it a little bit? And yeah.
What triggered it was that Tayo had actually done it before. Mm-hmm. So I had a lens in the process. I wasn't a part of it,
yeah,
but I had a lens in the process. Mm. And I always wanted to be a homeowner.
Okay.
My dad was a homeowner.
Okay.
He bought property in London. He actually, when he moved to Ghana, he actually worked for a company that helped develop homes for students that will come out of university or come back to Ghana if they've studied in the UK or US,
yeah,
to give affordable homes to
very people. Good niche.
So mm-hmm. I actually had a big background myself, yeah, in terms of like property and wanted to be a homeowner. Mm-hmm. Like when I was younger, my dad would always be like, and all these orders, these clothes aren't going to buy you a home when you're ready. You know what I mean? That focus.
ASOS.
Literally, ASOS. I used to try and my dad would get home before me.
Yeah.
So I used to call my, have you seen my package?
You hide it.
Call the siblings for some help.
That's it.
So you had good influence.
Good influence. So by the time I had saved up a bit of money, the first one that I bought was actually with Tyler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. Yeah.
How was that investing?
Oh, yeah, because you married then?
We weren't.
Oh, and I saw your post the other day about documents you should have.
Oh, yeah.
I'm watching you.
Okay.
I'm watching,
okay.
I mean, did you have those same documents?
Oh, hey. Those vibes are love.
Wow. I love him. So,
did I have those documents?
Wow. So, but talk about that. How was that process, buying as a couple?
And why did you?
And do you recommend it?
That part.
Pressure. okay, so the process itself was smooth because he had done it before.
Okay.
And because I was involved, not involved, because I'd seen him do it, I knew what it was going to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't difficult. He held my hand basically during it.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew what documents, I knew what my bank statements had to look like.
Yeah.
I knew how far we our money would stretch.
Yeah.
I knew what area we'd be able to buy in.
Affordable.
I think one of the challenges is that I actually grew up in North London.
Yeah.
Okay. He grew up in South London.
Yeah.
I wanted to stay North.
Yeah.
I wanted to buy a house in North.
Boo. Boo.
Are you guys South London?
South London.
South London is love.
What else is there?
What else is there?
Like, I just don't understand.
No, it's actually crazy to me. Like, you guys don't see anywhere apart from South London.
No, because everywhere is far.
It's fair.
That's
I can't, like, what kind of good central locations, but we're very good to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So, yeah, that was a bit of a challenge. I was used to North London. I was raised in Edmonton, and then my family bought a family house when I was about 16 in Cuffley. So I've always lived like on the outskirts of like North London and stuff. And that's where I wanted to be. That's where I wanted to buy. That's where I wanted to invest. That's where I saw myself being married and raising children and stuff like that. If you know Cuffley, you can't buy there unless
too expensive.
The money is money. So, you know, there were a lot of harsh conversations with Tyra and trying to bring me back down to reality, trying to bring me down to like, what is the main goal here? Do you get what I mean? You're thinking fairy tale.
That laugh was too hard.
It's so crazy.
I get it.
We all never had this conversation.
It was true. Do you get what I mean? Like, I lived in a little
bubble.
A bubble.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And he was like, look, like, let's think long term, you know? And obviously at the time you weren't married as well. So it was like, you're saying let's think long term, but we're not married.
He's dropping game there. He was dropping game. Yeah. He was like, see the vision, baby. Yeah. I see the vision. Come on, babe.
So yeah, challenges in terms of area, which obviously with age and experience and maturity, it's not as simple as buying a house in the area that you were raised in.
Yeah,
a lot of us were raised in affluent areas that you can't even get a one bedroom flatting for anything less than 500k.
Do you know how mad that is? But that's fact.
Yeah. It's the truth. Mate.
Yeah. A one bedroom flat.
Mate, I mean,
where's that area now? Royal Arsenal. Have you seen
crazy?
The flat?
Yeah, yeah, mad. Yeah, crazy. Yeah,
yeah. Mad. Woolwich. The same Woolwich.
That crazy.
That it's crazy.
The same Woolwich, yeah.
It is crazy. Yeah, yeah. And I remember, you know, being a bit disheartened about that. Mm. But that, and that was a harsh reality that I had to accept. Mm. And I think with the work that we do now, a lot of people are getting their heads around to the fact that, okay, I may have community here, I may have history here, but if I want to get onto the property ladder, I'm going to have to let that go for now. Not to say that you can never do it.
Yeah.
But to let that go for now. So that was one of the challenges that...
Is that one of the biggest challenges you have when you're talking to first-time buyers, new property investors, and stuff like that?
People are adamant that this is where they want to be. Mm. You know?
But is it... Have they done their numbers when they say that? Or is it just...
Vibes.
Before we do one-to-one and stuff like that. It's, you know, I want to buy here.
Why?
This is where I know.
Yeah.
My mum's around the corner. Yeah. I want to have children. I want to be able to drop my kids off and blah, blah, blah. I work down the road, blah, 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 blah. And when they speak to you, it makes logical sense.
Like, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
You know? It does.
You're going to be around family. You know this area,
It does. But when you think about how you're actually going to be able to do that and what the numbers are going to look like and that you can't actually sustain those numbers, then it's like, okay, I'm going to let that go.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Come back to reality. You
know, and come back to reality.
So
yeah, right at the beginning, that was one of the hardest things. Why did I decide to buy with him? Even though we weren't married at the time, I did see a future at the time that we bought. We were together probably about three or four years.
Oh, okay, that's I mean, that's quite a
long time. So you had some mileage, like
That's the wrong word, bro. Not the mileage sounds tired. I'm just, I've given up. I'm old. You had some experience,
sorry,
you know. Some, you know.
And there was trust in there.
Yeah,
there was trust in. I understood the documents that I was signing.
Oh, you actually understood it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You just said in his ear, if you mess me up, I will kill you, and that's what it is. Yeah,
I understood
what it meant.
I understood what it meant. Okay. I understood what I was doing.
Yeah. Just to go back to this, to cut you off on that though, based on what you guys signed back then, what does it actually mean? So let's say, God forbid, something had happened. Who gets the house, or how does it work, or what would have happened?
Well, we both have 100% ownership in all of our properties. So God forbid anything happened.
Not now, because God forbid, I'm just mean back then when you got the first one, like if anything had happened
prior to getting married.
Just thinking, how does that work?
Like, well, prior to getting married and unlike the
deed of trust
content that I just
created,
deed of trust and all these things,
It would have just been that we would have had to go through the courts and see what we wanted to do.
Okay.
But we would have both had 100% ownership on the property.
Okay,
so
cool.
It would have probably just been a sell.
Sell and then split. Okay, cool. I've just always wondered that.
Yeah.
Heard about that happening a lot, where you have to sell and split afterwards.
Yeah. Because I remember two friends that I knew that went to uni with, they bought a house together. One person put it on deposit, one person... They used her earnings or whatever.
Yeah.
All I remember is the conversation ended up with someone throwing coffee on the other person because it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
Friendship done out. So that's why.
I think in addition to, it's interesting because the content that I recently
yeah.
I had to highlight it.
Really, it was quite controversial.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a lot, or some of the feedback was, well, what's the point in going through that process if you obviously don't trust the person if you're going to go through that process?
Yeah.
Or, you know, why would you buy with someone that
you need to order that?
It's not your husband or anything like that. Now, both Ty and I are big believers in buying with someone.
Buying,
and
period.
Actually, in this economy,
it makes sense.
Buy with someone.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, there are other legal contracts that you can have drawn up to stipulate what exactly should happen if XYZ is to happen.
Okay.
So let's take it away from a relationship, a romantic aspect and something platonic.
Mm.
So I know siblings that bought together and the brother wasn't dating at the time.
Mm.
2 years down the line,
stuff like that.
He wanted to get married. Mm. the siblings actually lived together.
He wanted
to get married. He wanted to take some equity out of the house and buy with his wife.
Which is fair enough, yeah.
When they bought the house, they had a contract. They got a solicitor to write a contract to stipulate what would need to happen if that scenario happened. And it was
perfect.
Simple.
Yeah.
It was simple. It's not awkward. They waited until a remorgage was due. They took out the equity at the time.
Yeah.
He took out, I think he bought her, did he buy her out? I think he bought her out. I think he bought her out, actually. And then she did what she needed to do. He did what he needed to do.
That's it.
And you went, they went there. No arguments.
It's all contracts.
And in all that's happened with them being able to buy together was that they were both able to get on the property ladder. The brother was able to continue his property journey with his wife because of the initial purchase that he made with his siblings. Buying with other people, it's important.
Key.
It's important. And we always say one of our things is, time in the market is better than time in the market. They could have hung around until they both said, oh, let's wait until we meet someone, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes we don't know when that's going to be.
True.
You know, so getting their foot on the property ladder actually was timely because 2 years down the line, he met someone, blah, blah, blah.
I think that's one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on the podcast because, you know, I'm not married yet, but looking at people that I'm in, that I see in the industry, a lot of the most successful people are married. And it seems to be like a low-key formula for success. Like, you know, I think the fact that, you know, with property is quite, it's an asset at the end of the day. And because there's a lot of pressure around buying, et cetera, people are seeing it as, obviously people are not just getting married just to buy loads of properties and grow portfolios, but they're seeing it as a thing of, you know, I need to look at a partner that can, you know, I can grow something with like this and stuff like that. So for you, have you seen that as well? Is it been like a low-key gem for you, the fact that your relationship is not just about love and, you know, etc. It's actually you guys can build together. Has that been a gem?
So it's not been low-key, it's been high-key.
High-key.
It's been high-key. And actually, my marriage is the biggest and best investment that I've ever made.
Wow.
Mad.
And
she clicked at that guy.
That was deep still. I can get married.
Guys, are you doing this today?
Wow.
Properly strapped people.
I'm joking, bro.
And I'm a big Christian. And nothing works without the foundation of love. You know, there's a scripture in Corinthians that says you can have everything, but if you don't have love, you have nothing.
Nothing
works. And that's the same in my marriage. So it's been high key because it's we're together, we've got that, so everything else works. We're able to think about things that will benefit our community, our children, our parents, our siblings, etc. All of those things flourish because of the marriage, you know, and it does help that you've got someone that we both got each other. Do you get what I mean? Because, like I said, it's my biggest investment, and we're each other's assets. And you can unfortunately marry liabilities as well.
Talk about it.
That's facts.
That might have to be though. You know, when we get the demo or the snippet for the episode, that might be it.
Don't marry liability.
Yeah, don't marry liability. That might even be the name of the title. But obviously, talking about marriage and talking about business, like, what are your key like tips and like, you know, gems on having a successful marriage and successful business with your partner? Like
communication.
Okay.
Yeah, both for communication. Especially because before we met, before we got married, we had our own individual goals. Obviously, we now become one. You know, like I still have my career. I'm an accountant. I'm a management accountant. So I still have my full-on career as well as this. Whereas Tao's fully invested in this. And we've got two children. So we're only able to do everything that we do successfully because we communicate well with each other. In terms of the marriage and in terms of the business. And you really have to be able to do it well with the business because I'm quite risk adverse. I don't know if it it's because I'm a woman. But some of the things that we've done or want to do, sometimes I'm like,
really?
And you need that, you know?
You do need that.
Because you know, us,
we're just gung-ho.
I want to go and build 18 buildings today.
Yeah, yeah.
But have you looked at this, this and that? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And it's good, that ambition is good.
Yeah.
And there's no risk without reward. But sometimes I'm like, yeah, but baby, see if this thing doesn't work.
Everything's done now.
It's about 2K a month.
What are we saying?
That's
the
crazy.
Kids have got to go to nursery.
Yeah, remember
the
that.
Mortgages have got to be
paid.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You know, and being able to communicate through those conversations well is important to move forward. So I'll definitely say communicate.
Do you think that being in a marriage with someone and also doing property, do you think that the other person you're with has to also have an interest in it, or they can completely not care? You do your thing, she does her thing, or she does her thing, he does his thing. Like, do you think it helps that you two are both heavily involved in property as well?
I think it helps, but I don't think the investment has to be on the same level. I say that because when we started Bricks with Tips, I actually got pregnant a few months after. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the things that he was doing, I wasn't able to do or attend or stuff like that. Yeah. So naturally, it became that when I can, I will do content.
Yeah, yeah.
When I can, I will go to events. Mm-hmm. When I can, I'll do podcasts. Yeah. It wasn't that, oh, we must do everything together. And there were some projects that he fully worked on. Mm-hmm. There's some projects that I fully worked on. We bought a house in a pandemic. He wasn't involved at all. So, I mean, it helps. Otherwise, how do I put it? If the two aren't invested... If one is invested and the other person isn't, it's not going to work collectively. But I don't think you have to. It has to be on that specific, he does all the TV stuff. I refuse.
I had to drag her to do podcast today, by the way, guys. This is an exclusive.
I think we for both of us, we have our roles and we respect our roles in what we do.
I guess what are the challenges that you've kind of found, where, if there's been any, and what kind of ways have you learned to overcome it? I know you spoke about communication earlier, but was there anything else you kind of seen?
With Bricks with Tips?
Yeah, like working together with your husband, I guess.
Oh, time. Mm-hmm. The consistency part of it. If we both feel knackered, we have to push each other. And it's harder to do when you're in the same household. If I'm working on a project with my sister, me and my sister got a house together. If I'm working on a project with her, it's easier for her to be like, and come on, blah blah blah,
yeah,
because she's got her own thing going on. But if we're both going through the same thing to pull each other up can be a bit difficult. And especially with his job as a TV presenter, he's probably on the roads 2-3 days a week, 2-3 days out of the week. So that's been quite challenging, and also keeping up with the content creation as well. When we started 4 years ago, I know TikTok was around, but it wasn't as hot as it was now. And then also keeping up with all the new features. And you have to keep up with them. Otherwise,
Content.
You know, so always, you know, being on top of that. But then you have to be on top of your home. You have to be on top of your marriage. You've got to be on top of the kids. I still got my 9-to-5. So that's quite challenging. And also with what we do, it's important that we get our message to our audience.
Yeah.
So we take feedback as gold.
Yeah.
We really do.
That's good.
Yeah. Mm. So because we do that, we literally, at the beginning, it was a lot easier. We're on about, I think, 35K followers at the moment. So sometimes the requests are full of questions that we can't can always imagine. get to. But we want to, because that's how we grow, by listening to what our audience want and stuff like that. So it's quite challenging to hit the nail on the head with getting exactly what the people want, because it's not about us, it's about
people,
the people, you know, and our community, and building a bigger community. Like I said at the beginning, it kind of started because our hub was benefiting of each other's knowledge, and now that we've got a wider audience, it's like we want to keep
that doing
going.
That tribe, How's it been growing? And it's sort of a double question, I guess, but how's it been working with brands? Because I know we got obviously got the amazing event on Thursday, Daily Paper.
Come on,
everyone, make sure you're there. I don't even know if this episode will be out by the time it's gonna go out,
but you know.
Yeah,
hope
but
you saw it.
Yeah, hope you was there. Hope you was there.
Oh yeah, it's a series. Anyway,
it's a series, so it'll be another one. Yeah. So make sure you check that out. But how's it been like collaborating with brands, that side of things?
Yeah,
and you mentioned listening to your audience. How do you take the feedback you hear from the audience to then put that into your content that you're making?
Yeah, so with the brands, we're very specific with who we work with.
Yeah.
Naturally, because of what Tyre does, and naturally because we started with our objectives being specifically for an audience that looked like you and I. So an audience where, do you know what, I feel like this is hard. Like I can't do this. I feel like I'll never be able to do this. So in terms of like collaborations and things like that, we make sure that anyone that we talk to understands our objectives, and you know, one of my favorite brands that we've worked with was actually the Prince's Trust, and that's a charity that helps 18 to 30 year olds, helps them want to do better, helps them thrive, helps them get from difficult situations to 9-to-5s or completing their education and things like that. And that's a lot of what our brand stands for, filling that gap of knowledge in order to get on the property ladder. So a lot of our collaborations are about, I keep talking about community, but I think it's one of the most important things that we have as human beings. And that's what's so special about the Daily Paper series that we've got going on. They're quite big on community, and they always, their ethos is that we're more than just a fashion brand. We are about doing better and knowing better and things like that. And it just, once we're able to all do something, it opens doors
100%.
For our younger generation and more people that look like us to do stuff. So then it even makes brands say, okay, do you know what, let's work with them. They know what they're talking about. They know what they're doing. And we want their audience. Yeah. Let's work with them. You know, so that's quite important.
Amazing. I think it's so amazing that we have so many different people in this space, this property space, and you know, the platform just fulfills its own, you know, need in its own way that is very unique to any other kind of platform in this space. So, you know, we're grateful that you're there. Obviously, thank you for the invite as well, because we'll be there on Thursday. So yeah, we're gonna make sure we're talking about in our section. Drop some gems on that day as well. So I'm really excited for that. Maybe talk about you know, you're a woman in property as well. You know, what's been some of the challenges as well as a woman? I know
if there's
if there's been any, because obviously for us lot again. People in this can talk about it as well, but you know, you got kids and stuff like some of us can just sometimes run around, like I said, Tayo sometimes got, you know, TV here, there, whatever. Sometimes you can't just run and you be like,
no,
you know,
that's exactly
how's it been?
I'll say that's my biggest challenge. My kids are young as well. My youngest is only 10 months. So especially when this brand started, my kids weren't even here. The brand.
It's true.
So Bricks with Tips is actually my first baby.
Firstborn.
My firstborn. So yeah, that's one of the things. You know, it's, oh, this person wants to do this. All right, he'll have to go. He'll have to go. Which, I'm quite an introvert. So that's okay for me. That's okay for me. But when we want to come together as a force or as like a couple, It can get a bit tricky if I can't go.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think naturally as well, women do get overlooked in this space.
Mm. Yeah, they do. They do.
We do get overlooked in this space. And that's the great thing about having the platform.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In for finance and property, content creators, like you've got like my good sis Jade and Bola Soul, and their platforms are very strong.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Very strong. And I feel like outside of them two, in our space, especially for Black women, you don't really see anyone else. And I don't know whether there's a specific reason for it, but because those are the two that I can literally just name from the top of my head, that already goes to show how, you know.
Whereas if you're thinking of males, you could probably mention quite a few.
Oh, yeah.
And I think with the males as well, I think, again, the low-key gem I mentioned before is that a lot of them are married, the men.
Yeah.
And in the back, you have this woman that's kind of doing this, you know. I can mention so many names where, you know, I've sat down with them as a couple and it's like, oh, actually, you know, the female here is the one that's pulling a lot of the strings here, or allowing, you know, giving that platform to the other person to do their thing. So I think it is important to speak on it. And the fact there isn't enough representation, and obviously you come in here and Jaden, et cetera, are doing their thing, there's more people coming through. So hopefully you'll give them confidence as well to come through more
that's
people.
That's the thing. I think it's important. I think it's important because getting into property, whether it's just purchasing your first home or buying investment homes or getting into development or essays or whatever it is, anybody can do it. Anybody
Literally.
Can do it. And I think for a long time, it's been seen as a man thing. You know, anyone could do it. And even at the beginning, some people wouldn't even talk to me. They'll just go straight to Tyler. Literally. They'll just think, oh, I'm just putting a couple of things on Instagram.
Just go straight.
Literally, they'll just be like, oh, I've been trying to get through to Tyler, but I can't.
Hello.
And I'm like, all right, join the queue.
Talk to you.
Do you know what I mean? But yeah, we're growing, and a lot of us have the experience now,
and
we know what we're talking about, and we know what we're doing. You know, Tyler's a broker. Well, he was a broker by profession, so he has the experience and the knowledge. I would say I'm more qualified by experience. But the good thing is that, especially with the seasons that we've been through, post-pandemic, I bought a house, buying with a partner, buying with my siblings, buying during a pandemic. You learn so much.
You learn so much.
So that's one of the things that, you know, you get to experience through the process.
Excited to see you showing yourself more and talking more as well. And actually, this podcast is a first one for you. So hopefully more people will shout you, and I think they will, to be fair.
Yeah.
I was going to say, can you give us a success story for one of the people that have come to you, like they've been in the DMs maybe, or they called you, say, I've seen your content and this is how it's helped me, this is how it changed my life. I know you probably got 100 of them, so it's hard, even hard to remember, but if there's anyone you remember, it'd be good to hear.
I won't say anything too specific, just because the great thing about this is that it's very personable. But I would say that we have a lot of people that will literally say, do you know what? I watched this video and I spoke to my mum and we've got right to buy.
Okay.
And I've just had a discount and they're going to give us a discount of 65,000 to buy the family home that we've been living in for the past 25 years.
Which they didn't know prior
to watching.
Exactly. But from one video.
The power of...
It's crazy. Yeah.
You know, we'll go up. We went to we just came back from Ghana, and we were stopped in Ghana by someone. And they were like,
international bricks. Okay, I see you.
We were literally in a Crown Mall, and someone was staring. I was like, oh my god, have I got like something on my face? Bricks with tips. She's like, yeah, I've watched your videos. I love your videos. Wow. Like they've helped me like understand so much knowledge and
that's
stuff
amazing,
like that.
Man.
So I would say, apart from the direct one-to-ones that we get where people have actually made investments or bought homes and like broken down various schemes, there's a lot of government schemes and people have to use government schemes because that's for them the only way to get onto the property ladder and stuff like that. So there's been a lot of content that we've created that has allowed people to jump on. But I think what I will say that is testimony to the work that we do is that the majority of people that we know are homeowners.
Oh wow, yeah.
Oh wow.
That's beautiful.
Wow. Wow. And I think from the time you started, which was in just before 2020, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the game has shifted so much since have come onto the come out. Like, you've literally hundreds of thousands maybe been impacted.
So
that's the goal, you know. It's I always say with anything that you do, there's no fun when it's just for yourself. There's no fun. Do you get what I mean? It's like if I can go on holiday, but you can't go on holiday. I'm not going to go on holiday by myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I need you to be on the I need you to get me.
Make sure everyone.
That's
it. I hear you. What would you say though? Just before we round up, what's next for Bricks with Tips?
Yeah, future.
And also for you guys as well, on like an investment kind of perspective.
Yeah, both platforms.
What are you looking to do as well?
Okay, so with Bricks with Tips, what we've got in the pipeline, which I know he'll say I shouldn't
talk about,
but
exclusive.
We want to start working with local authorities, schools, colleges, universities to get the knowledge about home buying and owning your property out there. The interesting thing about school is that everyone leaves school knowing Pythagoras' theorem.
For real, bro.
Right? Yeah.
But
do you use it?
No one, a lot of people don't leave school knowing what a mortgage is.
Yeah, fair.
And like I say, one of our mottos is timing the market is better than timing the market.
Okay,
And if you ask a lot of homeowners what's the mistake that they made or what would they do differently, guarantee you that 99% of them would say, I should have bought earlier, including ourselves.
Including myself,
So if we can get that knowledge out to people, in my opinion, as early as 11 years old, as early as that's the amazing. Start of secondary school, I think that will benefit a lot of people. You know, I think one of the great things about our generation doing it is that a lot of our parents came to this country and just picked up pieces of knowledge that they could from not being raised here. We have the privilege, quote unquote privilege, of being educated here and learning from our quote unquote white peers and being able to bring that into our community. Let the younger generation do better than what we're doing. Do you get what I mean? It's open doors for our children, for our grandchildren. So that's the main objective in the near future for Bricks with Tips. And what was the other
And then from a property perspective.
From a property perspective. Investment. Oh gosh.
Any plans you want to share?
Do we have any plans for this year?
Or are you chilling?
Just in general.
Is it been busy? Is it been busy? Like
last year was a busy year.
Yeah.
Last year was a busy year. I'd like to chill. It makes me nervous.
People talk about it because sometimes people think you buy property is nice. Sometimes it's like, oh God, I've got another one. I've got to sort out now.
It's nice, to have downtime and just, just enjoy.
Go to Ghana, Dubai, come back.
It makes me nervous. So nothing as yet, but that's how I'll leave the room now TBC. Until I'll be like,
we're doing this.
There's an opportunity here, so
I heard that,
so,
man.
We'll see.
Cool. But thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you.
This is a great interview, great podcast. Like I said, Daily Paper. It's not going to go out in the time.
It's fine. There's a series.
It's a series. So make sure you go check out Bricks with Tips for the series. Daily Paper, Brick by Brick, or what's the name of the series?
Brick by Brick.
Brick by Brick. Brick Pom Brick. That's how I made my own remix.
Thank you.
But thank you so much for coming.
Have you told us where we can find you as well?
Yep.
Yeah, so we are on Instagram, Bricks with Tips, Bricks with a Z, Tips with a Z. We are on Twitter, the same name. We are also on TikTok and we are on LinkedIn. Bricks with Tips with a Z.
Amazing. Well, we're signing out. Property Strat.
Yes, sir.
Stay blessed, stay invested. Peace.